But we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Amen. We got a problem here. I just remembered, Brother Rose, a lot of our amen corners also the chicken getters. So I think you'd rather them go get the chicken than to say amen, wouldn't you? If you got your Bibles open, go ahead and stand, and we're going to have lunch. You don't have to worry about lunch, so you don't have to worry about the time. So right before we read, why don't you, I mean, don't leave, don't go out in the foyer or anything, but just turn around and shake a few hands and just tell folks you're glad to see them this morning. Would you do that? Greet our visitors this morning. How you doing, brother? Glad to see you. Pardon? You guys come on around.
No, I can't fall asleep.
You don't qualify. You have hair.
Okay, praise the Lord. Let's read this morning, turn our thoughts to God's Word. What a tremendous story we have to share. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin reading with verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. Verse 11 in particular will be our target this morning. But the scripture says, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. For unto you is born this day a Savior. I want to preach this morning on unto you is born a Savior. Don't point to another country, another time. I can say to you this morning, unto you is born a Savior. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, thank you for this story. Thank you that it's true. Thank you that it changes lives. Lord, anoint me by your Spirit that this would be a living thing to us this morning. Come alive to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I'm sure each family has their own family tradition. But in our family, on Christmas morning, somewhere about 10 o'clock, we gather around in the family room. The presents are still under the tree. We read this account of the Nativity in Luke chapter 2. One of the children have always read that. The one that just learned to read usually gets to read it. We read the Nativity. We sing a Christmas carol. And then we let the kids that can read the name cards go get the gifts and begin to pass them out. And my wife, she goes all out, so there's lots of gifts, and it takes them a time going back and forth from the tree to the family room, handing them out to people. And you know, it doesn't matter how old you get, you still like to hear these words I'm about to give you. Because they'll read the name tag, and then they'll look and say, this one's for you. And I don't care how old you get, you still like to hear that. It just does something when they're walking towards you with a gift and saying, this one's for you. You know, that's exactly what these angels said on this day. They appeared to the shepherds and said, this one's for you. Hallelujah. And I can say it this morning, speaking of our Savior, the wonderful gift of God to the world, His Son. I can say it to you this morning. This one's for you. And that's with me sitting on the front pew. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad unto us was born a Savior? In fact, from the very beginning, this story has been personalized. In fact, it's the gospel personalized. Jesus didn't come and die just for humankind in general, just in humankind as a race. Jesus came and died for each one as an individual. He came for you. Amen. I've already read the scriptures, but in verse 10, the angel said, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy. And then in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And then in verse 12, and this sign shall be unto you. I mean, from the very start, with the angels being the heralders, the Christmas story, the gospel was personalized. It's not just a theoretic thing. It's not just something for the masses as a whole, but this gospel is for each individual. It's unto you. I'm glad it's that way, because if the message is unto you, that means He can change your life. He can enter your heart. He can make a difference in your being. Can you say amen? I'm glad the gospel is personalized. And I pray that's what would happen in the message today. I pray we would personalize the Christmas story all over again. In the story, we have to take note of the setting of this announcement. Amen. We've been 3 weeks here. We talked about the promise 1 week. Last week was the Annunciation. But this week, today, is the announcement that the events has taken place. The prophecy has been fulfilled. The Savior has come. But that took place in a setting. And verse 8, it tells us in the same country there were shepherds. We use that word that literally means sheep herders. He meant sheep herders. There were shepherds in the field, and it was nighttime. Why shepherds? I ask that question again. Why did the angels appear to sheep herders, to shepherds? I begin to surmise. Perhaps it was because they were the nearest ones. I mean, it was convenient for them to get to the stable, to the manger. And so the angels appeared to the sheep herders because it was convenient. But perhaps it was because these shepherds were in the same field that Boaz and Ruth, they had their romance, they met and they married. And Boaz and Ruth were the ancestors of the one line in the manger. Perhaps it's that. Perhaps it could be that many feel that these were the same fields that King David, the first king of the throne, where he watched his sheep and played his hymns and wrote his psalms. And no doubt right there in the field where these shepherds were is where David was inspired to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maybe it's that. Why the shepherds? Perhaps it was for the fact that many believed they were keeping watch over the sacrificial sheep, the very sheep that would be taken to the temple, whose blood would be spilt for sins. And by the angels appearing to those who were watching the sacrificial sheep, even they were saying to these shepherds, you watch the sacrificial sheep, but we want you to see the oil ultimate lamb that's going to give his life and his blood for the salvation of the world. Maybe it was that, or maybe they appeared to the shepherds, because being shepherds, even God wanted those to be the one to look in that manger and see the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd. Maybe that's why they appeared to the shepherds. Maybe it was a pragmatic reason. Maybe they were the only ones awake. Amen. Amen. The only ones watching them. All those reasons may play a part, but I really believe deep in my heart that the angels appeared to the shepherds because in that culture, the shepherds were considered the lowest of the strata. They had the most mean job that there was to hold. Amen. They were on the low end of the societal strata and the societal culture. Amen. They were the humble folks eking out a living, poor and having living little. And by appearing to these shepherds, amen, God was saying to the poorest, to those that are looked down upon, to the lowest, I want you to be the first to look at this Savior, because he's not just the Savior of the rich. He's not the Savior of the wise. He's not the Savior of one nationality, but he's the Savior of all men. And I'm going to start at the lowest to let you know he's the Savior from the lowest to the highest. Hallelujah. Unto you, the shepherds, I want you to get this message. Amen. I know the message got to the rich. We have the story of the wise men, but now we have it getting to the shepherds, the poor. I believe God's this way. He had the shepherds and the wise men come, the poorest and the richest, to let us know that from any end of the spectrum, amen, God is the Savior of mankind. Amen. Most of us fall somewhere in the middle between the shepherds and the rich wise men. That's okay. Amen. God was telling us the Savior is for us. Aren't you don't you glorify God for that this morning? Hallelujah. I believe the shepherds represent each one who would assume that Christ is not for them. I mean, who would have thought the first gospel message would have went to the lowest shepherds? But the shepherds illustrate, the shepherds represent each person that would feel like Christ could not be for them. Others are more privileged, others are more worthy, others are more holy, others are more notable and deserving. But oh, that he appeared to the shepherds lets us know that nobody can say Christ is not for me. Amen. Because Christ is for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I've heard someone say recently, they said this gospel thing, this Christianity thing, it may be for you all, but it can't be for me. That's not true. It's for all men. And then I want you to notice in the story, the shining at the announcement. I mean, from the very beginning, the gospel brought light. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 9, it said, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I mean, suddenly the angel was there, and the glory of the Lord was shining. I just saw it in passing, but there's a commercial playing now, and it shows these people that have been stuck in the skyscraper offices all day, every day, get there early when it's dark and leave when it's dark, and they decide to go to lunch, and they walk out the door. I don't even know the end of it. All I know is they walk out the door, and they're looking up at the sun and they're shielding their eyes and they're saying, what is that? And a man on the scaffolding, a construction worker, he looks at them in amazement and says, well, that's the sun. They hadn't seen it, so it seems like this took place in Ohio. But anyway, they said, that's the sun. I mean, it was so bright. They were so unaccustomed that it just, oh, and here's the shepherds in the dark of the night, and suddenly the glory of God is shining. What is that? I mean, that'll startle you. That's why they were afraid. When we first moved here, it was a warm night. We had the windows open at the front of the house. What we didn't learn till afterwards, someone had stolen a vehicle, and so the police had set up a roadblock between our house and Dayton Road right there, or maybe it was over on this side. Anyway, they'd set up a roadblock right there, and all of a sudden, we're lying in bed in the middle of the night, and lights are shining straight into the window, right on my face in bed. I mean, just suddenly, and there's all this loud noise. I come up out of that place. You talk about startling. What happened? They set up the roadblock. The guy said, fine, I'll just go around them, and decide to go through our front yard to go around the roadblock. There he went. Those lights shining. I'm telling you, it's a startling thing. I mean, you're sitting there singing, amen, your little lullaby to the sheep. It's dark, and suddenly the glory of God is, oh, how kind of things makes me think of the song the choir sings, suddenly. I'm telling you, it can be dark, pitch black in your life, but suddenly the light, the glory of God can shine in the darkness and dispel it. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, the gospel always comes with light. Oh, thank the Lord. It came upon them. Maybe it was like a distant falling star that streaked across the sky, growing brighter and brighter, and then breaking right in front of them. Perhaps, but I just think suddenly that angel, his glory shined out of eternity into time, and suddenly he was there standing above them. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Those shepherds were afraid. I'm telling you, the sight was otherworldly. Even the ancient among them had never seen a thing like this. You've got to keep in mind, the whole nation is largely in a time of darkness. It's been ages since the glory, amen, of God had really been seen. The glory days of Israel are gone and over with. I know they got that temple. Listen to me, church. They got that temple. They're taking sacrifices there. They've got priests. They've got furniture. But if you'd went past that innermost veil to the holiest of holies, the glory of God was not between the wings of the cherubim. The glory of God was not on the Ark of the Covenant. The prophet had watched that glory leave because of the sins and the wickedness and the evil of God's people. The glory had left that innermost chamber, went past the veil, exited the temple. The glory of Israel was gone. It's dark, it's black. But suddenly, the glory of the Lord has returned. It's shining again. And the glory of God lies in a manger. And when that baby grows up and becomes a man and walks into the temple precincts, the glory has returned to the temple. Hallelujah. Oh, the glory of the Lord shone. The glory that lit up their night was but a small beam of the glory that would lighten their hearts and their world. I'm telling you, when Christ comes, he brings a change that is so drastic. It is every time like bright light shining in a dark night. Oh, hallelujah. Are you glad for the glory of the Lord? Hallelujah. I thought of Saul on the Damascus Road. Amen. Those angels, those shepherds, their eyes must have really been lit up with the brilliance of the angelic glory, because it was daytime when Saul was on the road of Damascus. But the glory of the Christ that now was as a babe in the manger with the shepherds, now the glory of Christ met Saul on the road to Damascus, and his glory was brighter than the noonday sun. I'm telling you, you may be in darkness this morning, but there's the glory of God that can shine in your darkness. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Hallelujah. The angel said, fear not. You know this, the messages of the world give reason to truly fear. Listen to your news and you get messages, amen, that will cause you and I to fear, cause you and me to fear. Amen. We get messages of disease, messages of calamity, messages of unrest, messages of economic woes. Amen. The euro's failing, the dollar's failing, this economy. I'm telling you, the messages of the world give us every reason to fear. But the gospel is always prefaced with with the words, fear not. Why? Because God's message doesn't bring fear. God's message brings hope. God's message brings light. God's message brings peace. Hallelujah. Fear not. You're going to hear a message. Amen. And in this message, you'll learn you no longer have to fear your past. I'm telling you, I'm preaching a message this morning that if you'd hear it, you need not fear your past. He'll forgive it. You need not fear your present. Whatever you're facing, He's able to overcome. And you need not fear your future, because a lot of this gospel says you can spend eternity in the glories of God. You don't need to fear any calamity would win over you. You need not fear death. It's a message that says you and I need not fear judgment. We need not fear hell, because if we accept this message, God will bring us out of all of that. Oh, hallelujah. The light has come. The glory has come. No need to fear. Hallelujah. The angels could have said, I bring mankind good tidings of great joy. This message is for humankind. For humankind is, oh, but no. The angel said, it's for you. The message is for you. The Savior is for you. Hallelujah. It's for you and all people. I'm glad he said all people, aren't you? I don't believe there's any that are excluded. All people can take the good news as their news, whatever their nationality, whatever their gender, whatever their education, whatever their culture, whatever their past, whatever their sin, whatever their situation. It's for all people. If you would just take it and personalize it, the message is for you. That's the message of the angels. And then I want you to notice that this announcement was all about the Savior. Sandra stayed at people's homes on choir tour. This one person told him the angels would come down and pet their dog and keep their dog from having fleas and all kinds of stuff. I guess an angel could come down and tell you and point out where you lost your car keys. I'm sure they're able to do that. But angels have far more important announcements to make. He didn't come down to pet no sheepdog. He came down to announce the Savior had come. How many knows this is all about the Savior? Every time we gather, every song we sing, it's about the Savior. For unto you is born this day a Savior. Not unto you is born another prophet. Not unto you is born a great teacher. Not is born unto you a moral example. And Christ was all of those. But it wasn't a fact that a prophet, a teacher, a moral example had been born. It was a fact that a Savior had been born. And I'll tell you why. Man didn't need just another prophet. He didn't need just another teacher. He didn't need just another example. He had had those and was still in his mess. What man needed was a Savior. And I'm going to put that present tense. What man needs is a Savior. I'm telling you what, if you're drowning, you don't need a teacher to teach you how to swim. You need a rescuer to pull you out. You're drowning. You don't need a prophet standing there and say, this is a result of you breaking the rules and going out in a place where you shouldn't have been. No, you don't need a prophet. You need a Savior to pull you out. Aren't you glad he was born a Savior to pull? Oh, he hath brought me out of the pit. He's pulled me right out of the glory. He's a Savior. He's a Savior. But he is going to be born, amen, in the city of David. You're going to find him as a baby. I believe Jesus came as a baby because he was determined to travel the whole journey of man. The whole journey man travels from womb to grave. Jesus was determined to follow that trail. Hallelujah. The whole journey of man from birth to death and beyond. Jesus came as a babe so he could travel the whole journey. Glory to God. You may be an infant. You're not understanding it. You may be a child.
child and beginning to understand. You may be a teenager. You may be a young adult. You may be middle age. Amen. The only part Christ didn't live was older age. It's because they crucified him, but he came as a babe because he lived the whole journey of man. Oh, so he could save us at any stage and any place of that journey. A Savior was born. Our Master was born. I've looked at great people. I've read about great people and thought they were only a baby one time. Have you ever thought of that? I've read about George Washington and then I thought he was just a baby at one time. I've read about Abraham. He was just a baby at one time. Hallelujah. But I tell you, we can say the same thing of our Savior. He was just a baby at one time. Great Savior that he is. He was born as a babe. Amen. And the angels again make clear, it's for them, for unto you, for you he was born. Again, I've talked to someone recently and they said, I guess it's just not for me. I guess the salvation thing's not for me. I can't see how God would love me. I can't see how the gospel can save me. But the scripture has made it clear. He was born for you. He died for you. And how can you say it's not for me when he did it all for you? Hallelujah. And then the angels gave a sign with their announcements. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Jesus was born in a manger. I mean, can you imagine? I've heard years ago they didn't have a crib. They'd put a baby in a dresser drawer. Right? But we're not talking even dresser drawer in the house. We're talking about feeding trough in the barn. Born in a manger. That's the lowest possible kind of crib you could have as an infant. That's the lowest kind of nursery you could have, a barn. It's one of the lowest possible cities, Bethlehem. And the lowest possible country at the time, Israel. I mean, he had the lowest of birth in an inconsequential country. Why? Because once again, as I've emphasized several times, Jesus began at the bottom of human existence so that in his rise to glory, he could sweep and bring everyone from the lowest to the highest with him and his ascent. You see, you might have had low beginnings, but so did Christ. You may have had humble upbringing, but so did Christ. How many get the feeling that he can relate to us? Oh, aren't you glad we have one that's touched with the feelings of our infirmity? The angel said it's going to be a sign because when you get there, you're going to find a baby where you would not expect him. You're going to find him in a feeding trough. But you know, in all of that sign there that the angels gave, I keep focusing on the fact they simply said, ye shall find. The Savior might have been hid to the Herod that wanted to kill him. But the Savior was made known into lowly shepherds who were desiring a Savior. You shall find him. I'm going to tell you, God's promise has never been changed. I don't care how lost you are in sin, how far in darkness you are. If you turn your heart to seek the Lord, I can tell you on the authority of his word, you shall find him. Ye shall seek for me and ye shall find me. Aren't you glad he's made himself findable? How many remembers the day when God enabled you to find him? Oh, hallelujah. Let me see it one more. How many has found the Savior? We only found him because he put himself in a place where we couldn't find him. You'll find him in a manger. I believe Christ was born in a manger in a barn because he was born in a place where no one would be restricted in coming to him. If Jesus had been born in the palace of Jerusalem, these shepherds would have never made it through the door. But Jesus was born in a place, in a position that nobody could be restricted except those that felt they were too great and too good to visit a lowly stable. Aren't you glad none's restricted? He that cometh to me. How many believe Jesus knew his story of his birth? How many believe he might have had that in his mind when he turned to the crowd and said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And then I want you to notice the singing at the announcement. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. I mean, there's just been one angel, and his glory, the light of his glory, lit up the night. But suddenly the heavens were filled. They broke through from eternity into time, and the heaven was filled with angelic host who began to sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Oh, do you see how those two things are connected? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You give glory to God, that will be peace to men. And when there's peace that comes to men, that brings glory to God. Somehow we've said separated the two. But I'm telling you, we need to start with the glory to God. Amen. Whether it's the church or the world, that's not thought of anymore. It's all about man, man's pleasure, man's benefit, man's well-being, how it relates to man. But I'm telling you, the gospel story begins with glory to God. Great things he hath done. What a marvelous God. What a marvelous creator. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at his power. Look at his name. Look at his fame. Look at who he is. Oh, it begins the gospel message with glory to God. And I have a feeling when we come into a house and we have one intent, that's to give glory to God in the worship, glory to God in the singing, glory to God in the preaching. If we'll give glory to God, men will find peace. Men will find peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. On earth, peace. That's something we're not acquainted with. Peace on earth. But God said it's coming. The angels could sing there's peace on earth because there was peace in the manger. How many knows he came as the Prince of Peace? Peace on earth because Jesus was on earth. I want to tell you this morning, wherever Jesus is, there is peace. If it's the human heart, if Jesus is there, there is peace. He came for that purpose. Peace on earth starts with peace in the heart, peace in the home. God wants to bring it. People today are talking about world peace, but they don't even have peace in their own heart. I think the secret to world peace is the peace of Christ coming to the hearts of men. Oh, what a mess. Can you just, and this isn't the message, but can any of you think of anything else in our world that can bring peace to man? Whether it's personal calamity or national or world problem, can you think of anything that will bring peace to man except Jesus, the Prince of Peace? Last of all, in our story is the scene or the realizing of the announcement. Verse 15, came to pass the angels, when the angels were gone away, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Let us now see this thing. I'm telling you, with God, it's more than a message. You can see it. This gospel message you can experience. You don't just have to hear about it this morning. You can see it for yourself. I think the key here was the response of the shepherds. Let us now go. Have you ever thought that if the shepherds had stalled around a few days, they could have went to the manger, but he had done been gone? Listen, it is not wise to put off those moments when the gospel speaks to your heart. They said, let us now go. How many knows now is the day of salvation? When he tugs at your heart, now, today, if you will hear his voice and not harden your heart. Now. You can see it. Go ahead, shepherds. We told you the sign. You can see it for yourself. You can check it out. Don't put it off. Do it now. Made me think of those villagers of Samaria, Sychar, when the woman had met Jesus at the well, came, told them that Jesus told her all her sins. Her life has changed. It said, so when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word and said it to the woman, now we believed, not because of your testimony, but we have heard him ourselves and know that this is in truth the Savior of the world. It makes a difference when you go to see it for yourself. You know, I wish this morning, we're talking about the message, it's a glorious, but I wish someone that has darkness in their life and mine would say, I'm going to believe the message this morning, and I'm going to see it myself. Verse 16, it tells us what happened. They came with haste. They found Mary, Joseph. They found the babe, just like the angel said. Verse 17, they made known abroad the saying which was told them. All that heard, verse 18, wondered at those things that were told them by the shepherd. Mary kept those things in their heart. But the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They moved from the field to the place where they found the Savior, and their lives were forevermore changed by that encounter. Seeing the newborn Savior changed them immediately and completely and eternally. They had seen the light as he lay in the manger. I begin to think about the difference the shepherds had made, or the Savior had made, the baby Savior had made on the shepherd. And I thought of that. If just seeing the baby Christ could make such a change in men, what must it be to see the full-grown, mature Christ? What a difference it makes in the hearts of men. Change them completely. Those shepherds being changed became the first evangelists. They went out and made known abroad the saying. They told it everywhere they went what the angels had said and what they had found. I'm telling you, the surest sign that a person has had God's salvation come to their hearts is their eagerness to share it with others what has happened to them. I mean, when these shepherds saw the Savior, saw the light, the first thing they want to do is share it with them. You know how you know somebody really gets saved? Because when they get up, they've got this burning desire to share with others the change God has made in their life. The best promotion a church has is an internet advertisement, billboard advertisement, radio, television. The best promotion the church and the gospel has is for people to truly encounter the Savior. Because if they've truly encountered him, they want to share it. Would you come, music? Hallelujah. The shepherds saw it for themselves. I'm telling you one thing, you could have never argued out of these shepherds their experience, because it was a personal experience. If you really met the Savior, nobody can take that from you. Amen. There's an old song that says, I didn't believe it could be till it happened to me. I want to tell you this morning, it can happen to you, because he was born to be your Savior. Wouldn't it be wonderful in this Christmas celebration if somebody let the light shine in the darkness of their heart and they would see it for themselves? There's a lot of myth of the historical King Richard the Lionhearted. One of his crusades, he was taken captive, thrown in a foreign country into a dungeon of a palace. His own country didn't know where he was at. He was wasting away in the dungeon. But his main minstrel from England decided he'd go find the king. Didn't have a lot of resources, didn't have any other men. But he said, the way I'm going to do it, I'm going to visit every palace in that foreign country. And I'm going to play the king's favorite song, and I'm going to sing it. And I believe if he's anywhere in one of those palaces, when he hears his song being sung, he hears the music, he's going to respond and he'll begin to sing with it. He visited several different palaces, played his song and sang. There was no response. But he went to one palace, began to play and began to sing that song. And suddenly from the depths of that dungeon, as he paused, he heard the singing, the sound of his king's voice. Way down deep in that dungeon, in the darkness, in the wet, in the disease, the king heard the song and his heart responded. Oh, hallelujah. These angels sang a song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. I believe that song through the gospel is still being sung. You may be here, you're way down in the dungeon, you're way down in the darkness of your soul, you're in bondage, but oh, if you just listen to the song, I believe you'd begin to respond and say, that's what I want. Something in your heart will respond to the gospel. I wonder if you're here this morning, you've heard this about light, you've heard this about salvation, you've heard this about deliverance, and you're in darkness, but oh, this morning something in you is responding and saying, that's what I want. I don't want the darkness. I don't want the prison. I want the peace. I don't want darkness. I want light. I don't want to be destroyed. I don't want to perish. I want that Savior. Has anything responded to your in your heart to the gospel message? Would you stand? Let's just thank him that he's come. Would you join me all over the building? Lift your and thank him that it was for you. Say, Lord, you were born for me to be my Savior. Oh, it's personalized. Let's pause for a moment. Let's pray. Father, I can't do it, but Lord, I've tried to faithfully deliver the message, the good news, that you came to save, you came to rescue, you came to set free, you came to bring light in the darkness. Lord, I pray you touch someone's heart this morning. They're tired of the darkness, tired of the emptiness. They're tired of perishing inside. Lord, that you help them realize this morning that you have come to be their Savior. You have come to rescue them. Are you here this morning? You'd say, I need light in my darkness. I want to allow him to save me this morning, to change me, to give me hope. Are you here this morning? I'd like to invite you right now without any further ritual or anything, just to come to these steps that we use as an altar and say, Lord, I'm going to believe this morning, Jesus, I'm going to believe this morning that you were born to be my Savior. And I'm going to believe this morning that your light can shine in the darkness of my life and change everything about me. Are you here? You need to say, won't you just don't hesitate. If you've heard that gospel, if something in your heart is responding, won't you come right now? Immediately there'll be folks to pray with you and the light will shine in the dark. Are you here? Would you come right now? Don't hesitate. You need the Lord. He came to be your Savior. He came to change your life. He came to give you hope. He came to give you a reason to live. Are you here? You need the Savior this morning. Would you come right now? Anyone in the building, would you come? I need a Savior. I need light in the darkness. Let's pray all across the building. Amen. I feel in my heart someone's hesitating. Don't hesitate. We're only here to help. Amen. Amen. To you is born a Savior. Why don't you come and see him? Why don't you come to see him? See it. You say, I don't believe it can be. No, but it, when it happens to you, you'll believe. Amen. Would you come? You need a Savior this morning anywhere in the house. Anywhere in the house. All right. Church, as those shepherds came and paid homage and worshiped their Savior, why don't you come, church, and let's kneel before the Lord and thank him that he came for us. Would you do that? And if you're here, you're not a believer, come with the church. Amen. Would you come and say, Lord, I want to see it for myself. I want to experience it for myself. Come on, let's just come. Let's come and see, church. Let's worship him. Do you need the Savior? Let light shine in your darkness.